When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. My name is David.
And I am Matt.
And this is where we talk about all the new and interesting, all the news you care about in the Star Wars galaxy. And first of all, we want to say a big congratulations to Colin and Brooke. They are now husband and wife. They got married. Matt went to the wedding.
I was there, man. First-hand experience. I have it.
So what was it like? Was it really cool? I know there was.
Oh, you want to hear the secrets?
Yeah.
So initially, okay. So if you've seen their invitation, right? It was like kind of like low key Star Wars theme, but like the font was pretty much the only thing that referenced Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then maybe some small wording, but like Colin, he said he was going to keep it like mildly Star Wars themed, and I was like, define mildly. He was like, enough where people will notice that like it's a Star Wars themed wedding, but it wouldn't be like overkill. And I was like, okay, define overkill, Colin. And if you asked him that like a year ago, he might define it the correct way when there's like too much of one thing going on at one time or too many things, you know what I mean? But come like 3 weeks ago, he's discussing plans because I was in the wedding party. I was one of his groomsmen. Thank you so much for choosing me, Colin. I was one of the guys. He had way too many, though. I'll tell you that right now. He had like 9 groomsmen. I was like, he's like, I just can't decide. I like all my people. But yeah, Star Wars theme is kind of an understatement. Not only did he have more than a dozen 501st official members from the Great Lakes and other, not even just the Great Lakes garrison. He had a couple members of other garrisons of the Midwest come.
You're on mute, Matt. I think you hit the button.
What happened? All right, what happened? Oh, no. Where did I leave off? Oh, my gosh.
I think Great Lakes Garrison.
Yeah, there was Great Lakes Garrison, and then I can't remember the one that's in, like, the one that Hunter belongs to. I can't remember his name. Not his name, the garrison's name. Somewhere in Indiana or Illinois, one of those two. Anyways, he had, like, 60K stormtroopers. He had Boba Fett. He had 2 scout bike troopers. He had three Imperial officers. He had Darth Vader, BB-8, C-3PO was there. They had Han Solo and Carbonite. They had a speeder bike. That was all just at the reception. And that was before you actually get into it. Those are all of the things that you pass by on the way to get to the reception. And it's just crazy town because he said it was going to be like mildly Star Wars. And I was like, okay, cool. And then when they announced them for like their first dance, you know, Colin and Brooke, it was awesome because they had bought like 300 of those cheap plastic 4th of July sold lightsabers that you would see people like selling like a downtown setting for like maybe a sporting event. They're like the lightsabers with the little ball and a star or whatever. They were super cheap.
A picture right here. If you're watching this on YouTube.
There are those lightsabers. You can actually see my tie right in the center in the back. But yeah, because they had like the groomsmen and bridesmaids like spread out along this giant crowd, and they had their lightsabers arched up as if a knight were walking underneath the blades.
Yeah.
And they walk through, and then they had their first dance, and then there was this super cute pose right here that was definitely not staged at all. But it was super cool, and I had a great time from what I can remember. And
so you said Darth Vader, Boba Fett.
Darth Vader actually was the DJ. I'm not joking.
Whoa.
Yep. Cool. And he was a 501st official. He was like 6'8", I think. He was towering over me, and I'm 6'2". He was a big, tall man. And our good friend John Henry was there. He was having a great time. It was a great time with 501st people and stuff like that. And it was just a really fun experience. And he had the best of friends and family all there. So only the people that were celebrate with him. So like everyone was super cool. The food was great. The drinks were way better. No, but we had a great time. And like you said at the beginning, I just want to congratulate Brooke and Colin on their wedding, and they are now man and wife. And I actually had lunch with them today, and we bought them lunch before they had to fly back down to Florida because they both start working like tomorrow, Colin's first official day at his new position in Hollywood Studios. And Brooke is going back to work too down in Orlando because they both work at Disney World. So
that is
awesome. They had a couple days off though. They like had Sunday and today, and they flew out at like 6 in the afternoon, maybe.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, congratulations. You guys did it
for sure.
And the first now we can story. Move on. So this story actually broke today, and I think you just recently read Marsha Lucas's comments, and I guess I'll read it here.
Oof.
And this is from Variety, and it's all over. Everyone's covering it. Marsha Lucas is, of course, George Lucas's ex-wife, and of course she won the Oscar for editing for the original Star Wars film.
If I had like a soundboard here, it would be the one that goes, boing. Ouch.
So yeah, Marsha Lucas. Marcia. She made a comment about Kathleen Kennedy I'm about to get to. But yeah, she's older. She's just like George Lucas. George Lucas is in his upper 70s. And I was kind of wondering, it's like, why is she talking now? But this was a grab from an interview she did for a J.W. Rinsler book for the Howard Kazanjian, A Producer's Life. And this is what was pulled from that book. This is Marsha Lucas talking. I like Kathleen. I always liked her. She was full of beans. She was really smart and really bright, really wonderful woman, and I liked her husband, Frank. I liked them a lot. Now that she's running Lucasfilm and making movies, it seems to me that Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams don't have a clue about Star Wars. They get it, and J.J. Abrams is writing these stories. When I saw the movie where they kill Han Solo, I was furious. I was furious when they killed Han Solo, absolutely, positively. There was no rhyme or reason to it. I thought You don't get rid of, you don't get the Jedi story. You don't get the magic of Star Wars. You're getting rid of Han Solo. So that's her comment in the book. And at on the surface, initially, when I first read this, I was like, well, maybe she does have kind of a point. But to me, I think she's been away from Star Wars and storytelling. See, she divorced George Lucas right in the time frame of Return of the Jedi. So this is 1982-ish, 1983. And she basically left with half of George Lucas's money, half of his empire.
Prenup.
And yeah, I mean, she and yeah, she was gone. I don't think she really did much afterwards. She did work with Martin Scorsese, editing New York, and she was very talented. I mean, she worked with the best. She won an Oscar, and she just kind of left the limelight. I think that was just kind of her choice. She just kind of disappeared. But
she's 75.
I don't think she was trying to get back in the limelight, but I think they just took this excerpt out because it was really kind of salacious, and they kind of just ran with, everyone's running with it now. But I think she's so distant from the movies and the storytelling and the fact that Harrison Ford has always wanted to die as Han Solo in Star Wars ever since The Empire Strikes Back. And he was confused about having to come back for Return of the Jedi and that whole thing. And I think it's just one of those kind of blow it out of proportion type of situations. But I mean, I do see her point, and that I think George Lucas maybe ingrained in her how Star Wars should go, how none of the main characters should die, because George Lucas was so adamant about Han Solo not dying, all the heroes living in the end. And of course, we all know in The Force Awakens, Han Solo dies and Harrison Ford got his wish. But then again, Harrison Ford came back in The Rise of Skywalker for a little scene, and he was handsomely paid, of course, but I kind of see both sides of it.
See, here's what I think is, because not only did she divorce him and take $50 million out of a settlement and join custody of their daughter, she also kept his name. Listen, she kept the man's name because it's George Lucas. And like, so she has like this infamous, like a name that she has claimed to. So like, obviously she just gets like more, I don't know, more street cred or more attention or just whatever it be. But like, she like doesn't really have much in her career since, like, I mean, she was like an editor on Star Wars, and she has like some like credits here and there for like producing and like being referenced in Star Wars related things in like her IMDb. But honestly, she's been pretty dormant for, I don't know what, how many years. And the fact that she's bringing up a film that was released half a decade ago just is confusing to me. I don't understand it. I get the comment maybe have some like maybe some roots in it that people can get behind. And there's also like a lot of idiocy in it at the same time.
Yeah.
But why is my question? Is she making this comment at this time about a movie that came out that long ago about a man who she divorced and took a lot of stuff from, and all because she was just like, she was kind of like a hermit, just feeding off the back of like his success, like 40 years after the divorce almost. What's, I don't understand.
Yeah, I think it's just a kind of an off the cuff kind of comment and kind of just quote that she made.
What day did she say this on? Like a Sunday?
I'm not sure exactly what day. I think someone just read the Kazanjian book.
Dang, maybe she was like out at brunch and had like one too many mimosas. She's like, you know what? I'm going to tweet about my ex-husband. And I don't
know. No, well, I mean, she didn't tweet. I mean, this is just...
Was it a Twitter that she first said it in? Or
no, someone pulled this from the book for Howard Kazanjian's A Producer's Life.
What time of the year to say this, like when, because she said she was quoted, it could be quoted on it, but when was she like interviewed? I guess I want to understand.
I'm not quite sure, but I don't think she's trying to like make waves or anything. I think she'd care less. I think she's still spending her money.
Do you think they're inflating this whole conversation? Like she made a comment because like they asked her a question?
It's just another kind of thing for the
this whole time. I thought that we were talking about her like just like blatantly saying this out of nowhere.
No, I think people just outlets grabbed it and ran with it. But it's interesting that she kind of like
ahead and backpedal real quick about what I just said the past 3 minutes. backing up.
I mean, you have to when you're this well known and this connected to one of the most famous figures in pop culture. I mean, you know that if you say something along these lines, it's going to go everywhere. It's going to be blown out of proportion. It's going to be covered by us. It's going to be covered by everyone.
Hey-o.
So,
but we don't spit up like opinions. We just like tell facts and then we talk about the facts.
We share our opinions, but I mean,
we share them, but we don't like, but like our opinions are facts. We're not like, this is how it is. We just kind of like, but like, here's what we think about it, you know? So I guess that's the difference between us and a lot of different, you know, different media outlets. Podcasting is honest, right?
Correct.
Unless you're watching this on YouTube, in that case, check out my cool shirt. Yeah. Nice. And if you're not watching this on YouTube, go plug our YouTube channel and watch us because you can see my awesome shirt.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not going to say what it is, but if you don't think about it too hard, you know what it is. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you definitely know what it is. And it's awesome, right? Thank you. All right, back to what we were talking about.
So, yeah, that's pretty much all that's there. I don't think it's anything really. I mean, people have their opinions and you're entitled to your own opinion, of course, but
I guess so.
I just feel like she's really disconnected and just out of the loop, I think. But I don't know. She won an Oscar for editing, so that's pretty good.
Well, and like producing, she's done that some of that a little bit. But I don't know.
Yeah, and if you are watching us on YouTube, here's a picture of Marsha Lucas with George Lucas back
here. Dang, look at those bangs. I'm not talking about George Lucas because he looks super fly. Little pelican guy. Look at he's got film in the background. This is so cool. Yeah. This is like something you could put on a t-shirt.
But I will say this, if you do want to know more about Marsha Lucas and the Lucas's relationship, you can actually find out a lot about it from The Secret History of Star Wars, which you can find on Audible. And I know we still have that Audible sponsorship if you want to go check it out.
That was a sick plug, David.
So yeah.
Look at that link.
It's The Secret History of Star Wars by Michael Kamensky. And of course, Josh Robert Thompson narrates. He does the best George Lucas impersonation. He was out there in 2015 celebration, I believe, dressed up as George Lucas with the Jar Jar doll, being hilarious. So, yeah, audibletrial.com/stuffpodcast. Check it out.
I would do it, but I like already have used it like a long time ago.
Yeah.
But now I have a Audible subscription, so I get to listen to all kinds of books.
Yeah, for sure.
It's super awesome. But, I mean, we've been talking about, like, Marcy Thomas. But can we talk about Kerry Shackoff now? Because I really want to talk about Kerry Shackoff right now.
Kerry Shackoff.
Can't say it. Kate Shackoff. I said it. There we go. All right.
So, yeah, of course, we all know Kerry Shackoff is Bo-Katan and The Mandalorian. And we're all kind of assuming she's going to be back. And, of course, every time someone asks her questions about Season 3 or anything Star Wars-centric, she says she either can't talk about it or she knows nothing. But Slash Film actually got an interview with her, and Katie said, "The way that Lucasfilm left me in Season 2, one of the roads that could be gone down, absolutely, you'd think, would be the unfinished business. But this is so far above my pay grade, and you just don't know, right? As a fan of the show, I'm just excited to see what they come up with." So, as of course, talking about the Darksaber and the fact that Din Djarin actually has it. He wanted in battle. And Katie Sackhoff also said, Dave and I talk a lot about Bo and her backstory and time lost and things like that. Just because we enjoy talking about Star Wars and the characters, I definitely know a lot about who she is and where she's been and what's happened. So yeah, I know that kind of stuff for sure. So thinking back when she was at Comic Palooza, which I actually attended, and I got to see her, got to take a picture with her, got an autograph. She didn't really say a whole lot. She did the panel that I attended, and she acted like she knew nothing. But right after Comic Palooza, she actually made an Instagram post where she was teasing a project that she was about to shoot. And it ended up not being The Mandalorian. It ended up being some movie in Canada, maybe Vancouver. It was an Extra Life for series on Netflix, but it was something else, which, funny enough, my wife was actually flipping through Netflix, and she came across a movie that Katie Sackhoff starred in. It was a horror movie. I forgot the name of it, but it was kind of weird seeing her like face tied to a movie I'd never even like heard of before. But yeah, she's a working actress. She does a lot of stuff. But I'm hoping to see Bo-Katan. I'm a fan of that character. I'm a fan of Katie Sackhoff. I'm a fan of her story, really. She has a very interesting story, and she actually recently just talked about it as well on a different podcast, where she was this close to starring in The Hateful Eight by Quentin Tarantino. She was the runner-up Jennifer Jason Leigh. Yeah. But of course, she was like, she was joking about it. She's like, yeah, she got nominated for an Oscar for that role. So I think they picked the right person. So
yeah. And like going along with the timelines of Bo-Katan, we could either see references to more Clone Wars related stuff, or we could actually see if they wanted to shoot towards more of the future, past Clone Wars, they could make references to Rebels characters. We've had conversations of Ezra Bridger popping up in one of the future seasons of either Mandalorian or Ahsoka or otherwise, and the new series are related to this era of Star Wars. So, I mean, there's a lot of different characters that could be introduced if Bo-Katan is to continue, because she just has run into a lot of people on the Star Wars Clone Wars timeline. Mm-hmm. So I just, not only do I love the character, but I love the potential of seeing other characters that I love along with her, because, you know, when they bring one character, they usually bring another associated character that they've met in the future or past. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see. I agree. I can see Bo-Katan being very integral into all these future series, and her playing a villain, good guy, go back and forth, kind of like Boba Fett in a way. And I think those are the most interesting characters. And I think my dream, and I think what kind of a lot of people hoped for and assumed after the end of season 2 for The Mandalorian, was that she would maybe be the villain of The Mandalorian season 3, because she's got to get that darksaber back. And the only way she can get it back with honor is to take on Din Djarin. So
yeah, and you could definitely you couldn't see her eyes, but in that final scene, but you could see her eyes, and she was like,
man. Yeah, she was
you could see the wheel turning in her brain of the different ways.
Yeah,
she's gonna have to either kill this man, or
you totally could. I mean, that's just credit to Katie Sackhoff's acting.
She's pretty grand.
Yeah, she's pretty good. Yeah. So other thing that kind of popped out here was the art of The Mandalorian. So this is season 2, and the first book came out, and I loved it. The art is just fantastic, and this cover is actually an exclusive piece of art by Doug Chang, the vice president of Lucasfilm.
Yeah,
and we all know Doug Chang from back in the day of the prequels. But yeah, this is going to be released, I believe, at the end of this year. The Art of Star Wars The Mandalorian season 2 arrives December 14th, and is available for pre-order now, so I bet you could go on Amazon, check it out there. But if you go to starwars.com, you can actually see their story on it, and you can kind of read. It's written, of course, by Phil Shostak, who wrote the first one, and he's very active on Twitter as well. I think he posts pretty much every day. And of course, you get to see behind the scenes stuff, including Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni. I mean, it's just chock full of great art, great concepts. I like to see the conceptual stuff where they were thinking they were going. And then, of course, we have the final product when you look at the actual TV show on Disney Plus. But yeah, it's that art, man. It's awesome. I'm a big fan of it. I love seeing that stuff. And of course, I haven't pre-ordered the book yet, but I probably will when I get to it, when I have a little bit of money. So yeah, definitely check that out when you can. So yeah,
I mean, we went to when you're at Dragon Con, we actually like went to a panel about art in Disney and Star Wars universe. And like we met like a couple of like different actual artists that like are like work that actually work for, I can't even remember who was on the panel, but I know three of them were like Star Wars like artists, and one of them does both Disney and Star Wars. But I just love, and they use their art in so many different ways. Like you might see it on display at a Star Wars event in Japan. You might see it at a gala. And at George Lucas's opening, and the artists, they don't really ever know because their art just gets bought by Lucasfilm. They don't know what they do with it until they see it on a mug at Target, or they'll see it wherever they see it, or they won't see it. But it's super cool to see like artwork from so many different artists across the world being contracted by Lucasfilm, and then they use it in so many different ways. So it's like fan art, getting recognition, and they're like professional artists, so it's super cool.
Yeah, if you're watching this on YouTube right now, you can see the artwork behind us, and that was, I believe, created by an independent artist, and it just kind of like caught on like wildfire on the internet as a wallpaper. But one place I'd like to plug, and one place I like to go to for Star Wars art that's from independent artists that's commissioned by Lucasfilm, is Bottleneck Gallery. I just bought a Luke and a Han for $60 a piece that will be arriving probably in about 6 weeks or so, but it looks really fantastic. It looks like something that should be hanging in an art gallery, and it's from an independent artist, and they're getting paid for it, and it's approved by Lucasfilm, so I can't wait to share that with you.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember the name of the artist that I talked to in this panel, but I'll figure it out because I have like the Dragon Con like schedule and stuff like that, and then I'll have it posted on our Instagram story. I'll have Colin post it there, so you can definitely go check out their artwork on our Instagram story, either when this releases or, you know, whenever it releases. I'll have it on Instagram story when this releases. You hear that? Yeah.
Nice. So, are you familiar with this guy?
Of course I'm familiar with this guy. Fast and Furious.
I'm not talking about Ewan McGregor.
We are looking at a picture of Ewan McGregor crossed with none other than the awesome Sung Kang, which is from the Fast and Furious series, where most people will recognize him.
Yeah, and his name is Han, right?
What?
His name is Han in the Fast and the Furious series.
Oh, right? Yeah. I was like, no, his name is Sung. It's right there.
Okay, so yeah, we've talked about him in the past. He's been officially cast. We just didn't know who he was playing. But in a recent interview with Ash Crossan about the F9, I guess, special features, or he's doing more publicity for F9. See, I thought this was an old interview, so I was like, well, shouldn't it not be new since it's so old? But he's doing more press for F9.
Yeah.
And in conversation, in one of his answers, one of his replies to Ash.
Can you get rid of this picture? It's kind of scaring me. He's just staring right at me. And okay. Like I was like, what do I do? Should I kiss him or like turn the TV off?
So he kind of let slip that his character has a lightsaber.
Oh, he did not let it slip. Did you see the way he said it? He was like, and my character has a lightsaber, like not a toy.
Well, I think he was really into it in his answer, because you can tell he's a fan, and he dressed up in Star Wars costumes from Kmart, he said. So yeah, it was a dream come true. It'd be a dream come true for anyone to be on a real set in a Star Wars film or TV show and have your own lightsaber. And it's like, what if they said, hey, pick your lightsaber? And we have that moment, just like what Ewan McGregor had in the beginning.
Do you think they would let him pick it? I don't know.
Well, I
mean, I think nowadays they get really nitpicky about every single thing. Like, I don't think Daisy really got to pick that lightsaber. I don't know. No. But said he was like, to be able to be on set and see Darth Vader and see the new Star Wars universe in front of me, just as a fan, to be able to be part of the history is pretty amazing. And he's like, and my character has a lightsaber, and it's not a toy. It's the actual real thing. Like, that's what he actually said in this interview. And I'm like, okay, that's like really cool. And if I was in your position, I'd probably say the same thing, because like that, I mean, I'm obviously not him. He's been in like 9 Fast and Furious films. He's like, he's done this before, but everyone who steps onto a Star Wars film or a project of any kind, it is unlike any project you have ever been a part of. It's like being on Law and Order. It is like an honor as an actor, a producer, a writer, an illustrator, editor, anyone who works on anything related to Lucasfilm or Star Wars. In
right, anything that like captures your imagination as a kid and is revered and everyone kind of universally loves and it's respected, and that's the top of the game right there. It's Star Wars. And yeah, he explained it beautifully. If you want to go see that interview, it's on YouTube. But my question to you, Matt, who do you think Sun Kang is playing in the Obi-Wan Kenobi Disney Plus show?
I gotta believe it's a new character that we haven't met before. That's all I'll say, because I don't know enough about the different characters, and I haven't done enough research as I should on
do you think light side or dark side?
Well, he says he is literally on set with Darth Vader. And if you're on set with Darth Vader, and
he could have been captured by Darth Vader. That's all. You don't see him, and we don't have.
I just don't know what, because I mean, if you're on a, I don't know. If he has a lightsaber and he's in the same room with Darth Vader, and he's not on Darth Vader's side, he's dead basically. So like, I don't even know. But he looks like a light side kind of guy.
Right, right. And
like,
he plays.
I don't. And he's
a good
like
guy.
Just,
in F9.
He does. He's always the good. He's always a cool guy. Han and the Fast and Furious. I love. He's like one of my favorite characters. Ludacris is just hilarious, but like, but Han's like, he's like the romance one, but he's also super quiet, super cool, super chill. Like, he's the one you want to be,
right?
But like, Ludacris is so damn funny. I'm telling you right now.
So I think it'd be super interesting if he played one of the Jedi that survived Order 66, right, and we get to meet a brand new Jedi.
But otherwise, it's an Inquisitor. That's the only other like logical reason.
Right. So that's the rumor right now, that he's playing an Inquisitor and he's hunting down Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I mean, he definitely has like the physical aptitude to play a character that would be a Jedi or an Inquisitor. So it's no question that he's like some guy that just found a lightsaber. It's because, which is possible in the Star Wars universe. A character may or may not have the ability to possess a lightsaber that is not a Jedi or related to the Sith. But so it's like very far-fetched. But
well, I mean, General Grievous was taught by Dooku, but he wasn't.
No, I'm saying like in this reality, because we've like literally seen in like the Clone Wars how like Jedi have like misplaced, lost, or gotten their lightsaber stolen or destroyed. Right. So it's obvious that a lightsaber can fall into the wrong hands. Not saying that this is the case with Song's character, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just feeling like I want to see more exploration of the Jedi that survived, and I think there's a lot of opportunity to maybe even have a Disney Plus show where you have Jedi on the run and Darth Vader's like tracking them down. He's hunting them down, and of course, I mean, some of them might live, some of them might die.
You gotta go read some of those Darth Vader comics, bring those to life.
Yeah, there's I haven't really heard many rumblings about a Darth Vader show, but I mean, you figure, I mean, it's got to be.
Or they could at least like use some of the storylines that came from like some of the original, like Vader Inquisitor, right, like comic books, because there's like some super dark, but also some super cool like plot points in those magazines and stuff like that in the comic books, not magazines. So there's a lot of potential. Because Darth Vader is obviously a very primary character in this Kenobi television show. But like, it's like, I feel like if they mention a specific amount of Darth Vader and it gets a lot of traction, you know, like Baby Yoda did, but like in a different, more sinister way instead of a cute, cuddly way, I think that it has just as much potential to create its own spinoff, like right, Darth Vader, you know, so...
Yeah, and I mean, you're bringing in Hayden Christensen back into the fold, and it's like, if he's going to be in the suit most of the time, it's like, why even bring him back? I mean, they have flashbacks, but I mean, there could be other opportunities for him to have the helmet off, and I don't know, maybe fight in a different type of suit where we actually do see his face. Maybe he fights in one of his a huge room that actually serves as like his medical chamber that we see in The Empire Strikes Back. I mean, we don't know yet, but that's a possibility as well. That'd be interesting.
There's so much stuff you could just do. And he's like one of the all-time most BA villains in Star Wars. So,
well, in cinema history, really. I mean, I think he was voted number one
of course.
At the end of the century to be the number one villain in cinema history. So,
and then there are so many like spin-offs of him. But like he's like one of the OGs. Like
he's everywhere.
He's right underneath me right now.
Yeah. Even at Colin's wedding.
He was there and he was a DJ and he was amazing.
He was spinning those records.
Spitting in rhymes.
A multifaceted Darth Vader.
No. But yeah. Darth Vader is one of my all time favorites. I always lean more dark side, honestly, than I do light side. I love light side characters, obviously, yeah. But like villains are so cool, and Vader's one of the top tier babies. Yeah. So we're talking about Sun. What are we doing? Okay. Yeah.
There was a interview done with James Newton Howard, and he let slip out that, and I'm not sure if this was supposed to be talked about, but he basically said that Lawrence Kasdan is directing a 6-episode docuseries about George Lucas and ILM. And we don't know when that's going to be released, but he basically said he did the music for it and it's going to, it's in the can, it's going to drop. You would figure it'd be on Disney Plus because, of course, Disney owns ILM. So you'd figure they'd be the ones to release it. But it'd be cool to finally see a proper documentary on George Lucas. I mean, he's led such an interesting life. Of course, he created Star Wars, but maybe get some stuff that we haven't seen. I think Star Wars is notorious for holding stuff really tightly to the chest and not giving us everything that they actually have there. And it'd be cool to maybe get some more details on how Star Wars came to be, essentially. I think we all know the story of him being in the car wreck and then being in the hospital bed and changing his life from there on out, and then going to USC, going to film school, meeting, his name escapes me right now. The director of Empire Strikes Back.
My mic. Hello?
Did you call me again?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
The heck is going on here?
Is it your mic?
I don't know. Just keep talking. Pretend like I'm not here for like 10 seconds. All right. We were talking
Herman
about
Kirshner. Yeah. I forgot his name for a second.
Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah. Yeah. Herman Kirshner was his professor at USC, and how that relationship was built. It'd be great to see something in depth, and of course Lawrence Kasdan was a writer of The Empire Strikes Back, and
I wouldn't be too upset if they talked about a little bit non-Star Wars related stuff. Because it is documented.
Well, yeah, I mean, person. The beginning of his life growing up in Modesto, California.
Yeah, you're...
what his influences were. I know he was huge into cars.
Yeah,
he loved cars. That's why he. First films was American Graffiti, where they're cruising a whole lot.
Oh yeah, baby! Sick rips.
And we also got an announcement, a cinematic trailer for the video game Hunters.
Oh man, was it cool!
And Matt and I actually kind of noticed a certain character that rides in a destroyer droid from the prequels, and I know you have some screenshots that you wanted to share.
Yeah, I got this right here, man. Let me pull her up.
And I thought it was an interesting kind of concept that you have a character that's inside of one of those destroyer droids, and they can ride around and shoot and fire.
I don't remember the name of the species, but I'm pretty sure it is one of those like little pig creatures that put on carbonate. Can't remember the name.
Ugnot?
Of those creatures. Ugnot.
Ugnot.
Yeah. So I think that is the one who is piloting this thing. And if you recognize the armor just in its closed up rotating position, if you're watching this on YouTube. You will recognize it as a droidica from the Clone Wars in the Separatist era, and it has been retrofitted to be a mobile vehicle for this small species, and it can not only transport someone, but it can transform into a droidica form and be useful as a full functioning droid with the person sitting inside of its torso. And it's got this cool purple and gold Laker style paint job on it. It's got some upgraded weaponry on the arms, and it's definitely got a cool like seat on it. And you can see the way it moves if you're watching this on face or on YouTube like this, because I took a shot by shot, and you can see it doing the rotating with the guy inside of her. There he is. Look at that little feller. But it's just super cool. And that's just one small, like, literal 2 seconds of a cinematic trailer of this game, which is just for mobile devices. It's not even like a console game. And it's got cool new characters. That I haven't seen haven't been seen before. They're new. Well, I think they make references to characters that do exist, but those are my 2 cents about that.
Yeah, on StarWars.com it says said after the fall of the Galactic Empire, Star Wars Hunters will bring players together in thrilling team-based multiplayer battles. Select from a diverse cast of new characters, including daring bounty hunters, Heroes of the Rebellion, and Imperial Stormtroopers. Star Wars Hunters will be free to download for the Nintendo Switch, the App Store, and on Google Play in 2022. That's so cool. So yeah, it's a brand new game. I'm pretty sure this is under the new Lucasfilm Games banner. So, and speaking of Star Wars games, one of the greatest games of all time, and we just talked about how Star Wars has one of the greatest villains of all time. This is one of the greatest video games of all time. It's getting remade. And
I thought you were going to say Lego Star Wars for a second. I swear to God.
Yeah, I was Colin, like, Colin's please, on don't, here.
Please don't say that.
So yeah, I truly did fall in love with this game all the way back in the early part of 2 decades ago, on the first part of the century. So I bought this game as exclusive for Xbox. I bought it. It frustrated me. I don't like RPGs a whole lot, but it was Star Wars, of course. And there was a lot of hype behind it. And my buddy at work, he was like, stay with it. Keep with it. It gets better.
The
so
controls
I was,
are so out of this world. Wacky.
Yeah, so I was stuck on the planet Taurus for like 2 months, like just like going around and with my droid. And I think at that point man, I'm trying to remember exactly if I met up with HK-47, but yeah, once you get off the planet, the game like hits its groove, and you meet Bastila, of course, and it's one of those games that was maybe like a transition game. It wasn't quite next gen, but the story is what kept you going and the possibilities. And of course, Revan is in this game, and there's one of the biggest video game twists in this game. And once it happens, it's just shocking and takes it up to the next level. And I think a lot of people that are listening know what the twist is, but it's going to be remade. And this time it's going to be an exclusive for PlayStation, which is weird.
That's the problem I have with it right there. That's the one thing I have, is that it's PlayStation and it's even launching on PC. Why are we doing this? Why does it have to be?
I don't know, but I guess kudos to Sony. I think it's the Lucasfilm Games.
Freaking ridiculous.
Side of the house. Yeah, they're looking for anyone and everyone that wants to play in the Lucasfilm game sandbox, and Sony stepped up. But I do know that it will be released on Xbox later on. I just don't know how much later on.
Like too long.
Probably. It's not enough for me to go out and buy a PS5.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy a PlayStation 5.
Even though you really can't technically buy one right now because you can't find them anywhere. I know one of my buddies at work was telling me, hey, well, there's like a Twitter page where it'll actually notify you when a new system appears somewhere. But I was like, I don't even want to go through that. I've had an own PlayStation in such a long time. I'm a total Microsoft person. So
yeah, I even had like the PlayStation 1, and then I had PlayStation 2, and then when I got my Xbox, like the original Xbox, I was like an Xbox player from like there on out.
Yeah.
So like no diss to like PlayStation, but I just play Xbox, and I have an Xbox. But now I can't play a game I really want to play. But I'm not going to go buy and cannot buy a PlayStation 5. So you're really just like you're hurting yourself, honestly. And it's really difficult for them to be making new consoles right now because there's like shortages on like materials because of like COVID still impacts. Like you can't get like microchips from China made like and delivered on time, which is why there's such delays in these manufacturing processes with PlayStations. And Xbox and like cell phones and like anything that needs a microchip, honestly, like vehicles, they have like shortages on the supply lines, which is why like everything's starting to. I'm not getting into that, but like, I just want to play my Star Wars game, man. Why can't it be on Xbox? Why gotta hate?
I said, it's eventually gonna end up there, so I don't think we have to wait a whole lot longer. And it's gonna be a remake. But
if they scored a contract with Sony, they're gonna make the contract big enough where it'll impact Microsoft, their lead competitor, enough because they're exclusive to PlayStation for now. But how long is that contract? A year? 2 years? Am I gonna wait 2 years to play the remake of Knights of the Old Republic? No, I'm probably gonna forget about it and then play it in like 4 years when it's like half the price. No. I'll just add it to my queue of games to play. I still have to download Star Wars Squadrons. Oh, man.
Man, it must be pretty cheap by now, huh?
There was actually... Yeah, and I was like Battlefront 2, and like Colin really wanted me to download the Avengers game, and it was like 40% off last week, and I was like,
dang it.
Yeah, it was like half the price, and I was like, he was like, it's on sale, but I was like too busy, and I wasn't even home for like 4 days because of his wedding. So I didn't have a chance to like download it on my Xbox. Mm.
So other news drop that The Mandalorian Season 3 will start shooting today, actually, September 20th. And will conclude around March 23rd, which puts it in the same timeline as the previous seasons where it'll premiere around this time next year. So I know we got all kinds of reports stating that The Mandalorian Season 3 was already shooting, and it could have been a situation where they were shooting like little stuff here and there during the time of the Book of Boba Fett shooting. So it might be one of those situations.
Characters might overlap, so they might just use them.
Yeah. And it kind of fits with what Katie Sackhoff's schedule was. So I think she's maybe done with what she was doing. Now she's going to come back and do The Mandalorian Season 3. So it's going to be interesting. And from what I've heard, it sounds like it's going to really give the fans, give us all kind of what we want to see. It's remarkable that they actually brought Boba Fett back to life, essentially, and he worked. He worked in The Mandalorian Season 2, and now he has his own show. And he was the original character that Jon Favreau wanted to make a show about. And of course, he was denied, and then he kind of proved himself. And now he's been given Boba Fett, and I hope it's going to be awesome. And of course, Robert Rodriguez did that interview where he said we way over deliver. So what I'm thinking is, I haven't heard anything on this, but I'm thinking we're getting everyone. I think we're getting Din Djarin, Grogu, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo. We're getting all kinds of flashbacks. That would be over delivering to me if we got all that stuff. All the old bounty hunters come back. Jabba the Hutt. I mean it would be fantastic. It would be so great.
Yeah, they like just like right before, like when before Mandalorian was like when it was just starting to take off, and people were like, sad that like a lot of like the original characters were getting, you know, dissed and gotten rid of. It's kind of interesting that we just made ourselves a new outlet to allow all of those characters that we love to live again and see them from a new light. So. Like some people are just still figuring out that like catching on to The Mandalorian as like a new Star Wars thing, like not just the movies. And because a lot of people were like anti TV show for like a long time, and I was like, that is the future of Star Wars. The future of Star Wars is in television,
yeah,
and it's in streaming services, and it's in series. It's not just films anymore. And some people are still like, I don't get it. They're like anti streaming service, and they're like, OG trilogy for life. And those people I don't even want to talk to, because they're just not, I don't know. But like the fact that like we get to see so many, or the potentially see so many characters from the past, new ones, and them interacting with each other in season 3 with like Kate Sackhoff and all those other new characters, and long.
Yeah,
like,
Cobb Vanth, Timothy Oliphant.
And like, awesome. There's still like, yeah, and talks of showing up or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that's happening. And the rumor is it's Mina Musad who played Aladdin. Mm-hmm. That's pretty great casting, I think, because he's already in the family. He's
definitely got like the acrobatic and choreographic skills.
Yeah, he's right there. He's like on a silver platter. I mean, he's just in wait, and it seems like he's very enthusiastic.
I have difficulty physically picturing him in that role. I mean, I guess. I don't know. He just seems like, I don't know. Whatever. I think it worked. It works.
Yeah. So last night, the Emmys happened. And of course, Ewan McGregor was up for an Emmy for a movie he did for Netflix, and he won. And so I guess congratulations to Ewan McGregor for outstanding lead actor. Man. In a limited or anthology series or movie. So he won. And of course, he was asked about Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, because this was like really a stream. So like he was like being interviewed like on the camera, but like he was like talking just to the camera, like not the audience. So it was after.
Yeah, I don't think any of the interviewers were there physically. I think it was all over the internet. So he was asked, of course, could you give us anything about like a tease for Obi-Wan Kenobi? And he says, definitely not. And then he starts talking about it. He's like, yeah, we finished rapping. It was a great experience. And he said, I believe it will not disappoint. So I'm paraphrasing here, but a lot like Robert Rodriguez, I think that statement alone, that's kind of the equivalent to what Robert Rodriguez said about the Book of Boba Fett. It's this is the show that everyone is anticipating. This is the next big thing for Star Wars. If they knock this out of the park, which they should. I mean, you got Darth Vader, you got Obi-Wan Kenobi, You got all the same actors returning back. You have Joel Edgerton coming back, Bonnie Peace coming back as Aunt Beru. Everyone's coming back. You're using the volume. This should be awesome. And I think we're fully into, and of course, Deborah Chow, who proved herself with the various series that she worked on. And then, of course, she directed some of the best episodes of The Mandalorian. So hyped for this. This has super success written all over it. And of course,
super success.
It's funny because I was thinking about that line where Alec Guinness says, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I haven't heard that name in a while. And it's like, I hear that name like every hour of the day now. It's like, it's not nothing but
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Can't get rid of it.
Of course.
Yeah, if you were to tell me back in the 90s that I'd be thinking about Obi-Wan Kenobi this much as a 40-year-old, it's like, of course, yeah, there has to be a show or a movie or something happening. And I've talked about it on the podcast before. It's like when I knew Star Wars was going to come back, it was just a question of when. And I thought the circumstances were going to be that George Lucas, unfortunately, untimely passed away and his kids owned Star Wars or something. Or maybe he sold it, right? Like on his deathbed or something. Well, I mean, you look at what he had been doing, nothing with Star Wars. And of course, the backlash with the prequels. And I mean, you just never know. And I mean, he has that Jedi patience to wait. I mean, he waited from 1983, 1982 to all the way to 1997 to start working on the prequel trilogy. So for me, that hit me right in my life where I was like, I want more Star Wars, and I was just born too early, you know? All you guys are lucky because you were born like right at the right time when you guys got Clone Wars and the prequels.
Hey, man, it's your fault. You messed up. Should have just done what I did.
Stayed inside a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I'm pretty jealous of you kids. Yeah. So, but yeah, congratulations, Ewan.
Being a kid, can we talk about a toy real quick?
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about Rey's new lightsaber.
Yeah.
Which is the new Black Series Rey Skywalker Force FX Elite lightsaber. And do you have a picture of it, or do you want me to?
Yeah, I'm going to pull one up right now.
Here, I just share my screen here.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Da-da-da-da-da. Come on. Where's the share? Boop-boop. I want to share the screen. I want you to see what I'm looking at.
So yeah, we were actually talking about it earlier, and it's kind of interesting the fact that we were there, me, Matt, Colin, Brooke, Sam, we were all there at Galaxy's Edge in Orlando.
May the 4th.
And it was interesting that the week afterward, they decided to sell the Rey lightsaber at Doc Ondar's, and it was like, why did they do that? Because it would have sold like hotcakes, you know? I would have bought one for sure. Looks like we're kind of lucky that we didn't purchase one, because this one's actually better.
So much
and this better. One's going to be probably released like next year sometime. You can pre-order it and buy it now. But you can actually turn the dial like Rey turns it in The Rise of Skywalker. And you can actually see the green and the blue light in the center there before it turns yellow. So she's using both crystals from the Luke and Leia lightsaber, apparently.
And you can remove the blade, and you can obviously see the triangular, like cover. The base of the hilt. It's they close up all the way when the blade's not in it. It's super cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
It's also a tad more expensive than you might see in the average lightsaber.
How much is it?
In Galaxy's Edge. You can get it on sale at Amazon.com right now for $264.99 plus tax, shipping, and handling.
Wow.
But yeah, that is quite a big price tag for a lightsaber. But I must say that if it is anything like the legendary one, the lightsabers you can get at Galaxy's Edge, then you will know that you cannot actually use these lightsabers in a combat form at all. they are actually quite fragile, and they're mostly and particularly only used for display settings. So I would question this thing's durability. I know it has advanced lights and sound effects that are pre-programmed inside of it, kind of like the ones you see at Galaxy's Edge. Again, there is detailing in the metal and plastic accentings of the hilt. So I know it's really goodly detailed, but again, it's a little overpriced in my opinion, and I wouldn't want it for anything more than a display piece, I guess.
Yeah, apparently it is more of an upscale lightsaber as opposed to the traditional Black Series. But also, fun fact, this is the first packaging that you have the name Rey Skywalker on the toy.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. So Force FX Elite. That is like such a like strong name. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
Force FX Elite. You know, it's just like so crazy.
Yeah.
And it's cool. But I saw a meme the other day of like, they're like showing like the Force Awakens, not the Force. Yeah, it was the Rise of Skywalker like thing, and she was holding her lightsaber and you could just see the hilt. And they like zoomed in and it was like, even in a galaxy far, far away, they still have Phillips head screws.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can see the flathead screws on here.
Yeah.
It's if you look so
funny. Oh gosh. That's great.
Yeah. I mean that's pretty rudimentary technology there to have a screwdriver. I mean you look at Echo, his arm is basically a screwdriver. One big old screw.
I was just talking about that today with Sam, because he's building a pit droid and he wants like to have put like big magnets on his hand so he can like give it actual tools so they can hold on to it. I was like, you mean like a screwdriver? And he was like, I guess, but do they have screwdrivers in Star Wars? And I was like, have you seen Rey's lightsaber? I mean, look at Echo's arm. And I literally said those exact two things to him, and he's like, I guess you got a good point.
Yeah.
Screws. All right, so that's all I had to say about that cool toy. But plus, I'm a huge fan of all things Black Series Star Wars, because like, I don't get me wrong, I love a good Lego set, but I love like very detailed like the cast irons, the action figures, like even like the Black Series helmets that they have are really nice, and you can just tell there's like good craftsmanship and planning put into those. And I just love realistic models. They're not even like toys at this point. Like they're models that are being sold to what we think is for children, but what child is going to receive a $260 lightsaber for a toy that they'll probably break pretty quickly? This is definitely not a toy.
Well,
although it's a toy.
Yeah. I mean, you would think, but I've growing up, I saw kids with toys. It's like, oh my gosh, you actually own that and you're playing with it?
Yeah, when I was a kid, my dad had one of the original, like the AT-AT walkers, like one of the old ones where you had to put like the giant D batteries in the bottom slot, and it had like a remote. It was missing like all of its pieces. Now I didn't really know what it was for like the longest time. My dog chewed up one of the legs of it. It was crazy. And then when I grew up, I realized what I had, and I was like, what did I do? Yeah, it was crazy. I knew I messed up because I went to my local museum in downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I legit in the antique toy section saw that exact AT-AT walker with all of the parts, and I went, wait a minute, I have one of those. And I was like, oh, I made a mistake.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was an antique when my dad obviously didn't notice that we were playing with it. I guess so. He didn't notice that it like kind of got destroyed until it was way too late.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember the discipline I got for that. I definitely remember it wasn't good. I just don't remember what it was.
So speaking of kids and family, there's actually going to be a brand new Star Wars Lego Halloween special that debuts here in October, and it's going to be streaming on October 1st. And a lot like the holiday special that we got last year, it's going to be filled with all kinds of characters, and it's not going to be canon. Sorry, Colin. But I believe all the voices, you're going to have a lot of voices from the previous Star Wars special.
And I love that the moon in the background is actually the Death Star.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing is that I think that the Lego media in human resources department should not produce anything else, not human resources, until they get the freaking Skywalker Saga game out. Because, like, what the heck? What the heck? Get it out already. They keep moving the date. But I guess Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales might be pretty cool. But, again, it's not canon because, obviously, do we have to explain? But, Colin, he's probably going to be, like, texting me, like, to be like, hey, it's coming out. Ready? He might even, like, want to, like, stream it with me. So,
we'll do a live reaction.
Yeah, he'll probably, like, post about it on Instagram all over the place.
Yeah.
Because he's in charge of our Instagram. But yeah, he wanted to be here tonight, but he's flying home right now, or he's probably getting home. So
yeah, James wanted to be here too, but he had some issues he had to work on. Yeah. So there's one last story. Did you have anything that you wanted to talk about before I hit this last story?
No, but way to end on a sad note.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, it is a sad note. And way back when I was super hyped for Solo Star Wars Story, you got the reports of who the cast was for the film. And I was super excited for this actor appearing. And I hadn't really watched anything that he had done, but I knew he was very, very liked by fellow actors. And I knew his work was very critically acclaimed and impressive. Unfortunately, he passed away, and he was the original Dryden Voss for Solo, A Star Wars Story. And, it was Michael K. Williams. And, yeah, he passed away a few weeks ago. We haven't done a pod in a little bit, but I just wanted to recognize him. And the footage is out there. He did act. He did do his part. He was supposed to be kind of – he had some CGI elements to him, actually. I don't know if he was fully 100% going to be covered, but he did the acting. He was there. And for the Lord and Miller cut, I dare to say. So it's out there. If we're ever going to see the light, if it's ever going to see the light of day, I don't know. But like I mentioned before, Star Wars is very kind of, unless we really have to show it, we're not going to show you anything. So I just want to recognize him and rest in peace. So I think that'll be it for this edition of the Star Wars Stuff podcast. And I just want to reiterate what Colin said on Instagram. We've all been pretty busy in our personal lives, and things are changing. People have moved. People are getting settled in. People are getting married. And we're about to ramp it up. And Visions is going to premiere Wednesday.
Yeah, so, man.
We got that to look forward to. And a lot of media actually got the first three episodes. And I'm not sure if they're just going to dump all the episodes out on Disney Plus, because I think each episode is anywhere from 8 to 22 minutes long. So they're not very long. So I could very well see them just dropping everything and just having those episodes. And I feel like I'm going to be a fan of it. I always say I'm a fan of the Animatrix and that whole
situation. Yeah, I've talked in a couple other podcasts about my love of animation and just that whole style, and the fact that we're going to see it in a Star Wars setting. Stoked for. And if it comes out all at once, I might just actually like watch it literally all at once.
Yeah.
If they're literally that short, you could watch it in like a few hours. And I could do that on a good day. I'm pretty good. What do they call those? I can't even know. What am I good at? When you watch a lot of stuff.
Audibilizing.
You're binge a good watcher. Voyeur? I'm a binge watcher.
Okay.
I'm a professional binge watcher. Yeah, I got a license. Give me a sticker for it.
Yeah. And speaking of stickers, we should have a lot of stickers for Celebration coming up in May. So, yeah, me and Matt were just talking about it here. So,
yes, if you do not follow us on Instagram, do that now, because we're going to be releasing information in the coming weeks and months about our new content that's going to be coming out, our different appearances at different events and cons and celebrations like Star Wars Celebration, which we will be there. We'll discuss that more in the future. You might see some potential merch coming your way in the coming months. We'll all put all that information in our social media, our Twitter, our Facebook, or Instagram. You're looking at me on YouTube right now, and if you're not, you need to be, because that's the cool kids. That's what they do. But if you're listening to this on our on any podcast or streaming service, you can definitely give us a follow, give us a comment, because we love to hear your feedback, good, bad, a little bit of both. If you want to talk about your day, I might watch it or listen to it anyways, or read it. Definitely watch this on YouTube. If you haven't tried our Audible trial yet, it is audibletrial.com/ Star Wars Stuff Podcast, or Stuff Podcast, just Stuff Podcast. David, where can they find you?
They can find me here at the Star Stuff Podcast. You can email us at starstuffpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, we're on Twitter at Stuff Pod. And of course, we have a TikTok account. We have a big Facebook group posting memes daily.
Yes.
Fresh memes for everyone daily. And of course, Patreon. Thank you so much for all of our supporters that have hung with us. I mean, it's a pretty cool group, really solid group. And your support is about to just go a long way for the podcast and moving into that next level.
If you're like wondering, you're like, what's the Star Wars Stuff Podcast up to? You're about to like be blown away, because like we got a lot of stuff coming here in the future. So definitely hold on to your pants and stay with your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times.
Yeah. Or Starship. Yeah.
Starship. Well, I guess if you go outside, you'll die, because, you know, the vacuum of space is pretty brutal.
Well, they can fly in the atmosphere, too. So.
On that disappointing note, thank you so much for listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast. My name is Matt.
My name is David.
May the Force be with you always.